We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 18 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. And I'm incredibly excited to introduce another mentor of mine to our fierce audience. She's been a deep learner in my life and the life of many others, and I would say a disruptive force for good in the space of really deep thinking and equity engagement. And Keisha, I have a confession. You know, she really is at the top of my list of all-time sheroes.
Oh my God.
I want to tell you a little bit more about my special person joining us today. You know, Carolyn McCanders is the Director Emeritus for the Thinking Collaborative, which is the home of the Adaptive School Seminars and the Cognitive Coaching Seminars. And as a consultant, Carolyn specializes in individual, group, and organizational development. Her passion is promoting quality human relationships through communication, collaboration, leadership skills, and development. You see why I'm digging this person, right? So Carolyn's background includes over 28 years of working in Detroit public schools as a teacher, counselor, program administrator, and staff development specialist. She currently presents seminars internationally. She's jet setting across the world, especially pre-COVID, but I know post-COVID she'll be back out there again doing this healing work in this space. And she's incredibly effective in helping others understand their presentation effectiveness and meeting facilitation skills. And she also provides something really interesting called polarity management training, which supports some organizations in identifying and managing competing tensions inherent in social systems. She has extensive experience in group facilitation, and she successfully helps groups to classify and clarify the vision and work collaboratively to achieve professional community and desired results. She is the co-author with the famous Robert Garmson with a new book coming out called It's Your Turn, Teachers as Facilitators. I know that's going to be a hit. The result of interviewing over 400 teachers really emerges through this book. And it addresses the current and ongoing dilemma that teacher leaders face when facilitating meetings. In addition to her work in educational settings, she is a family and women's counselor. From her counseling experience, she brings to her work a deep belief in unlimited capacity and resilience of the human spirit. She holds a BS degree in child development and education from Michigan State University, an MA degree in counseling and education from the University of Michigan, and an MSW degree in family and children's services from Eastern Michigan University. Keisha.
Oh my gosh.
Clearly a rock star here.
I know. I'm like bowing right now. You are an incredible rock star. I can't wait to get your book and read that. I'm sure it's going to be super intriguing. And Detroit's one of my favorite cities. That city has so much history. And I mean, if you want to know what grit is in a city, Detroit's the city to visit. Absolutely. It is gorgeous, and it has just, it's an enduring city, and I just love it. And we are so lucky to have you as one of our sheroes. I know you've been Frances's shero for a long time, but now you're all of our sheroes. And each week we explore models of leadership together. And we focus on what we call a pattern of M, asking our guests who their mentors are and how they've impacted your life, and then to consider mirrors. And then we're going to turn to what you see in that mirror and ask for any movements that you're going to be watching, that we should be watching, that inspire or ignite maverick moments. I always get tongue-tied when I do my M section because that's a lot of M's, quite frankly. But it is it makes for a really engaging podcast.
Mm-hmm. And Keisha, don't forget, we have to catch some edge babble to make sure our listening community understands and connects with what's being introduced and said. And so I caught one when I was introducing Carolyn, and I'm hoping she'll be able to help us out. Carolyn, will you give us some insight? What's this polarity management thing we heard about in your bio? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Keisha, and thanks, Francis, for having me here. I'm deeply honored to be here with two powerful women. Polarity management. We're all immersed in complex systems. And when you're talking to a 22-month-old, you are immersed in a complex nonlinear system. When you're talking to a 22-year-old, when you're at the gas station, when you're in the grocery store, when you're in a Zoom meeting, you're in a complex nonlinear system. And that complexity produces tensions, natural tensions that are always there. And these are competing ideas that need each other for good outcomes, like paying attention to home, which we've had to do, while paying attention to work. They're natural tensions that live in all social systems that compete for attention, and they seem to repel each other, and yet we need to leverage the best of both poles. When we get polarized, it means that we're stuck in one answer to a polarity, which is not good, because when you choose one right answer in a polarity, you're going to experience the downside of both poles. So, being effective and being efficient always lives in a system. Giving choices to my child and having that child follow standards and directions are polarities that create natural tensions. Now, it's important to pay attention to these at home and professionally, because one, they're always there. Two, when you try to solve a problem, a polarity with problem thinking, with either or thinking, you're going to make the situation worse.
Wow, Carolyn, that hit close to home. With my 22-month-old and my 26-year-old, I can think of many, many times that I have dug into an answer. And now I realize I probably should have called you to see what I should do. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thanks so much for that incredible explanation. Now let's get started with our M's. Can you share with us who your role models are and why?
Two come to mind immediately. And it's an M. The first one is an M. It's my mother.
Awesome.
My mother immediately, she's deceased, yet her spirit is very strong with me. And she comes to mind because something my mother used to say all the time is, Carolyn, you can always make something from nothing. She came from a meager background. And she says, if you look for the resources, even when it looks bleak, the resources are always there. And she used to demonstrate this. She used to say, look in the kitchen. It looks like that there's nothing there. I'm going to fix a feast. And she did. And that metaphor has followed me throughout my life, to that no matter how bleak professionally or personally a situation can be, there are always resources there. If we put on the lenses of there's enoughness here, there are resources here. And so my mother definitely comes to mind. The other is Harriet Tubman. Oh my gosh, Harriet Tubman, the evolutionist and political activist, born an enslaved person who had the audacity to wake up one day, free herself, and then some more being audacious with saying, not only I'm going to free myself, I'm going to free some people. And to make that decision is astounding to me. And she teaches me to be audacious, to have tenacity, to be mission-driven, and have some crazy faith and to be a liberator for children and for adults. So those are two of my mentors that I rely on daily.
I think all of us want to have those personal mentors and those gifts that you just mentioned around that testimony to resourcefulness and womanhood. And no doubt, building on some of your background, they might even be the perfect cognitive coaches, if perfection is such a thing, for our current life and beyond. And in the spirit of liberatory practices, I'm wondering, who are some of your mentors building on this pattern of M's?
I wish she could hear me now. She's such a powerful woman. And in fact, I'm going to tell her about this. I don't even know if she knows that I would call her name. Her name is Kay Oliver, and she's a Detroit educator. And she was my supervisor about 40 years ago. And Kay was the first person within our Detroit Public Schools district, and for me, that drew attention to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the necessity to pay attention to that, not only for our children, but also for the adults within the system. In fact, CAPE would put on this conference every year when this wasn't popular 40 years ago to draw attention to equity and inclusion. She was a pioneer, and she put on a conference called The African American Child Placed in Crisis. And she would bring in all of these speakers from all over the world that would not only sound the alarm in terms of the problems around our students of color, but also we made plans. So it was not only problems, that there were plans. By the end of this conference, you were motivated. You had plans for, if you were the custodian within a building, you had a plan to support equity and inclusion. If you were the principal, you had a plan. If you were a teacher, even if you were a student, you had a plan to empower yourself. So I just lift her up as a role model and a mentor for me. And I'll have to tell her this. Another mentor is, for me, is Saint Mother Teresa. Now, I'm not a Mother Teresa, but she speaks to me. There's this line that she would say all the time. And she would say, "I'm serving God and his distressing disguises." And I used to think about that in the sense that to presume positive intentions, that's what I got from her, that people are walking in as much light as they have in the moment based on the information that they have, the emotions that they're able to call forth, and the information that they have, and to serve them anyway, to find ways to enter their world, to be of service to them, to empower them. The last mentor I want to mention is Robert Garmston, who is a professional mentor who introduced me to the adaptive schools work, to cognitive coaching work, to teaching and facilitating internationally. And what Bob has taught me most professionally, he says it all the time, is relationship is the most important thing professionally to foster. Relationship first with yourself. How much do you love you and can forgive you? And relationship with others, because the quality of the interactions among adults produces the energy and produces the creativity, the critical thinking for our students and for the other adults within that system.
I could listen to you all day, Caroline. I see what Francis says about just you encourage us to think deeper. You know, I bet you have been a natural leader your whole life, but when did you look in the mirror and actually see a leader looking back at you?
Definitely when I was, I didn't know if I'd labeled it leader, but now that in retrospect, when I was a classroom teacher, and I did mirror work. It's so interesting that I did mirror work. I wasn't vain or anything, but I was looking in the mirror every morning, brushing my teeth, and I asked myself, whose life will you save today as a teacher? And I remember I was teaching first grade at that particular time, and I realized the responsibility and the opportunity that and the power that I had. And in that moment, it was a little scary. And at the same time, it was exhilarating. It was exciting. And I knew that I had to do things differently than what I was seeing. I knew that for the students in my community, they needed more than textbooks. They needed more than national assessments. They needed to find themselves, to see themselves, to hear their voices. My students needed food too. My students needed clothing. And so I decided to start where they were. I decided that I'd have a closed closet within my room. And first you have to make this acceptable within the little community to say, it's okay if you come as you are and just go in the closet and get what you need. There were shoes. To my custodian's dismay, I also had food in my closet. And you could eat, you could clothe yourself. And when I shifted to middle school, which I loved, I would even add things for hygiene that they needed and to normalize that. And one of my sixth graders won Teacher of the Year. She won Teacher of the Year. This might make me cry, but I'll get through it. And she said it was because of those closets that, that I had. And making her feel that she was whole when she had nothing. That's when I knew I was a leader. Absolutely.
Oh, Carolyn, feel this virtual hug around you. And thank you for such an incredibly real and honest reflection. Reminds me of a beautiful quote by Nelson Mandela. It says, history will judge us by the difference we make in everyday lives of children. And in fact, that's a beautiful reflection of exactly what you did each and every day as a leader. You know, as a leader, you're also an incredible female leader that so many of us look up to, and you really organize opportunities to amplify that female energy and use that as a healing force for equity. And I'm curious to see from your perspective, how do you see women changing the world?
That's an interesting question, because I think women have always changed the world. I don't think it's a new phenomenon. I think that now women are claiming it and lifting it. It's always been there. There's research that says when there's an all-male group and you put a woman in the group, it increases not only emotional intelligence, but the cognitive intelligence of the group actually goes up with that feminine energy living in the room. I think women now are claiming more leadership positions and insisting on it in government, in their community, and in corporate settings, and even in their homes. They're making their voices heard and they're making their voices matter. So they're bringing these different perspectives that actually shift narratives within male-dominated groups. And I think of my daughter, who is an attorney, an African-American female in a white male-dominated profession, and how she is now making her voice. She was very timid at first, but then Stacey Abrams is one of her sheroes. And she said, I was watching Stacey and she's unapologetically herself. And she just goes in at it. And I'm watching her putting her voice in and not being argumentative, but being very thoughtful and insisting that she's heard and saying, just a moment, I have another thing to say. So to actually stop the group, that's big. That's big for, so she's a shero of mine too, to actually insist on being heard and being persistent in with her ideas. And so she's an example. Some others that are just, for me, unapologetically themselves. One is Marianne Williamson. I followed Marianne for about 30 years now. She's one of my old sheroes and mavericks. She had the audacity to bring love into politics. I think that's just such a hoot to me. People were, when she brought love into the 2020 presidential debates, people were befuddled. They were bewildered. They didn't know what to do with that. And she didn't really care because she's been saying it for years and years and years. Love is the answer. Love is powerful. It is not wimpy. Love kicks butt. Love is a disruptor of systems. And I could see it disrupt the energy in that debate. I just found it extremely funny. And the next day after the debates, everybody's looking her up. It's like, who is this woman that had the audacity to wage love on the candidates? And so I just love women, or I admire women who are mavericks and have the audacity to bring in a different narrative in traditional spaces.
Yeah, the audacity is a clear theme in these examples, and being unapologetic about leading with love. You know, I love the work we do with superintendents, as my dean said, you can lead with love. And I said, we can lead with love in a PhD program. I said, I am in. So I bring all the lessons I have learned from you, Carolyn, and the folks that have guided you in these maverick moments to that space. You know, we got to dare to care about doing the right work. And in fact, these examples and the example of you today really illuminates that for all of us. It brings that light that you mentioned. You know, part of the honor roll also is about learning how to take care of ourselves, because our sheroes take care of so many. So I'm wondering if you could share some insights around your own self-care practices and some things that our listeners might really put into their own practice.
Thank you. This is so important for women. It really, really is. We get the smallest piece of pizza. We get the leftovers. And how do we assert ourselves in the world and yet take care of ourselves? Because we're the catalyst for change. So I tell women, there are three things that I usually say, is to quiet your mind. There's so much going on in the world, and our mind mirrors that. Many women will say, even when I go to bed, my mind continues. it just goes on and on and on. So I don't even rest well. So to adopt a practice of quieting the mind for at least 5 or 6 minutes before the kids get up in the morning, before you get on a Zoom, before you face the world, to take 5 minutes for yourself to quiet the mind. And I usually teach one easy way is just to watch your breath. Watch the in-breath and the out-breath and quiet and ground yourself. What a gift. And then do it again midday, and then do it again in the evening. So quieting the mind. Another self-care practice that I do and I suggest is to affirm yourself, because to watch yourself talk, because we can talk so mean to ourselves sometimes unconsciously. And here's some examples that, and you're setting an intention for yourself, your self-talk. I would say, I could never find my keys, or I'm not good on those Zoom things. I'm not a tech wizard. And the brain gives you all green lights. And so your brain says, okay, so you're not good. Let's be not good at this. But so to relanguage unproductive self-talk into life-affirming self-talk, to say to myself, I will put my keys in a place where I can find them. I'm learning to be more tech savvy, and it will come over time. So how do you talk to yourself? Pay attention. And then another thing is clarify your mission or purpose. Have a mission, have a purpose, and clarify that. In fact, I suggest that you put it on your mirror. A lot of things are on my mirror because you got to go brush your teeth. And to reaffirm your mission every single day, because when your purpose is clear, your choices are much easier during that day and during life. So, and give yourself a hug every single day. Give yourself a hug. You are enough. That's another thing. You're enough.
I like giving the hug. I love having things on my mirror. Those are great tips. And the breath I struggle with, even though my health watch tells me to breathe. I'm like, come on, I don't have that much time to watch my breath. So I just skirt through it. I cheat. Not good. I'm not healthy. It's a rule. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try to adopt some of the great tips that you shared into my life. Francis works with me almost every day, trying to keep me straight on my health. Now we're going to move to a little game that we play to finish off our podcast. And it's like a finish this thought game or finish this sentence game. So here's the first one. An event that changed my worldview.
An event that changed my worldview was international travel. I got to, and I'm so thankful, look in the face of humanity and to see that we're more alike than different.
Beautiful. You know, I have one of those sentence starters too, as you imagined. And this one is, I became a stronger person after.
After I faced my fears, forgave myself, and sought healing. Definitely. I go towards what I become curious, and I go towards what seems to frighten me, and to look it squarely in the face and to say, what do I need? To ask myself, what is it that you need right now? And to love myself despite my flaws.
That actually is harder than it sounds, isn't it? Yeah. What about this one? My life improved when I
stopped trying. We use the word trying so much. You know, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do that. And I realized that in this dimension, there's really nothing to try for. There's nothing to get. There is only to allow your God-given resources to flow forth from you. So when I stopped trying to be that and looking for myself all over the place and realizing you're whole right now, right here, right now, and to relax and allow.
So my hunch is this final one will connect to that allowing that you just mentioned. And this sentence starter is a decision that changed your life.
A decision that changed my life is that that I'm enough. And it may sound like you got the big hitter, anything, something like that, but it's a radical acceptance of your divinity. And that's the way it feels good to me. I'm a divine being. Doesn't mean perfect being. I'm divine, and I've decided that I am, and I'm hanging on tight to it. And all I need to do is to ask myself moment to moment, what aspect of that divinity do I want to express in this moment?
Well, Carolyn, we cannot thank you enough for the expressions of your divinity that you have shared with us during this wonderful exchange of thinking and just this explosion of our hearts and being able to share that with others. And I know I've learned so much about your story over the years and even more today. And Keisha, I'm wondering, what have you learned from this exchange with the fierce and formidable Carolyn McCanders?
Well, I have really enjoyed our short time together. I think I could stay with you for a very long time and never quit learning. I put two phrases that you've said that are sticking in my mind. Well, there's several, but to presume positive when you're thinking, when you're meeting someone or encountering someone for the first time, and then to serve people. I think that, a lot of us will use the phrase servant leader, but I think just to say, I just want to serve people. I just want to make the world a better place. And I feel like you've done that through your entire career, from being, a teacher of elementary and middle-aged kids that really transformed so many of their lives just by having resources available to them that wouldn't embarrass them to go and access during your class, to literally helping teachers lead as well-honed facilitators in your upcoming book. I mean, you just constantly serve people and make the world a better place because you're part of it. And I feel like my cognitive intelligence has ramped up a little bit during our 30 minutes together. And I'm going to write the last phrase that you said, radical acceptance of your divinity, on my mirror. So yeah. Thank you for that. What would you like to share with our audience that you haven't been able to share yet?
I want them to know that they're whole and to choose love no matter what over hate. Please choose it over hate.
Well said. I think that will be going on my mirror tomorrow, next to, I think, a quote that you gave me before from Oprah that said, is it one day or day one? And so, I'm thinking a lot about what our listeners are marinating in and percolating around with today's conversation. And in the spirit of mentoring, leading, and disturbing the system, Keisha, I have one of those coaching questions, and I know Carolyn loves a good coaching question. So for our listeners today, as we think about what we've heard, today's coaching question is, what might it mean to face fears, seek healing, and normalize the tensions that allow you to stay present? Again, what might it mean to face fears, seek healing, and normalize the tensions that allow you to stay present?
Oh, wow, that's a good one, Frances. I can't wait to see the tweets on that. We can't thank you enough, Carolyn, for joining us today and spending a little bit of time with us, sharing your incredible story and your just I can't even think of a good adjective, wisdom. I mean, it's just explosive wisdom. How's that?
Yes, absolutely. We want everybody to learn and lead with what you've shared today and make sure that they do some of that self-care work that you mentioned. Let's find some spaces today to take 5 minutes of breath work and keep repeating that.
And I know a great way that you can catch your breath. You can listen to our podcast and you can join our next podcast where we're going to highlight another Shero in education and explore their M's. So please don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Roll, R-O-L-E, and respond to the coaching question that Frances just shared with that hashtag. Until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Frances Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.